Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome back. This is the Keystone Kickoff Show brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network, KeystoneSportsNetwork.com, the Keystone Sports app. Continue our look at Penn State in spring. We talked about the blue-white game. It's the most recent thing we saw. But there's also 14 other practices and a lot to cover there, too. I'm Dustin Hockensmith. Andrew Pichet, Ross Tucker here as well. These are Ross's position rankings, and it's interesting that we started these last week, Ross. You can check those out at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. And we're continuing them now. I'll give you the rundown of 12 through 7 in a second. But just in a broad sense here, Ross, did you see anything on Saturday? You know, you had the linebackers at 10, tight ends at 12. Did you see anything that made you think, maybe I should have moved that group around a little bit?
Can you read them to me again, what my rankings
were? All right. 12 tight ends. 11 specialists, no change there, I assume. 10 were linebackers, 9 were safeties, 8 were defensive tackles, and number 7 was running backs.
No, that's probably about where
it should
be. Do you
feel better about linebackers when you
see
some of these
young guys? I feel a little bit better about
around?
Linebackers, yeah. I like seeing Lucada, Jan Johnson, Micah Parsons. I feel better. I feel a little bit better about linebackers, but I don't know that I would move them ahead of safeties yet.
Yeah.
It's close, but I definitely still feel bad about tight ends.
Yeah. I mean, what
and that's
did you,
not Danny Dalton's fault. I'm just saying.
Right. What did you have to work off of on Saturday that could have possibly changed your opinion? We don't know anything about these contenders for playing time, and we won't until we see them in games. That's just the bottom line. That's scary.
Yeah. And, you know, look, I'll tell you one thing. On the one throw from Clifford to Hippenhammer for a touchdown, Danny Dalton was like in a wing on the right side. He came across the formation for blitz pickup. Clifford gets sacked if he doesn't make that block. So that was very encouraging. He did catch a pass. You know, Matt Millen said on the television commentary that he had done some good things. I don't know why Zach Kuntz didn't play.
That was my question. Was there a reason not to see him as low as they were going?
It just seems like if there's any nick or any little tiny ailment that they were just being super cautious with some of these guys. Obviously, you would love to see, you know, how your freshmen
then why
show
in
up.
Uniform?
Yeah, I don't know.
That's a weird thing to me. I took that as maybe that he wasn't ready mentally. But
if we had the ability, we could take
me.
A call from James from State College to see. He literally, at some point in time, he listened to a show and tried to was asking if you could call in.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, we're not in that spot yet. We'll talk to you anytime, though, James. Let's look at the next wave of these rankings. And it's interesting to have this one broken out on its own, and I think it's worth it to do it. Number 6 is special teams units, which are talking about coverage and those types of things. Obviously, you know, this is one area where if you took it for granted before Penn State was going through what it went through with sanctions and everything, you should have a new appreciation for scholarship athletes being on your coverage units.
Yes. I think that's well said. They have much better athletes now running down, and with this recruiting class they've got, you know, that will be the decision, right? For some of these guys, Parsons is not going to redshirt.
No.
But Lucada is a guy that it's questionable, and Matt Millen mentioned that, I think, on the broadcast as well. He's going to be a tough one with where they're at linebacker right now and with what I think he could do on special teams. He's going to be a tough one to redshirt too. And I'm sure you'd rather redshirt him if you can, but I think he's going to be one of your guys. You know, he's big,
on special
he's athletic.
Teams, his attitude and his mindset for football and special teams is a perfect fit. If you get nothing out of him at the linebacker spots, if he doesn't crack that top two at any of those spots and he just plays special teams, I think you'll get
Let me ask you this, by the way. Looking at the roster, like, where is Faison Walden? Where is Braylon Franklin? Where are some of these guys that it feels like we've heard nothing of them? I didn't notice him in the game. I don't know if they played at all or they were hurt and or they just got passed up already by these early enrollees, because I didn't see those guys all.
What we knew them to be, though, was long-term development projects.
But we're talking specialists. To me, those guys had the skills and the body types in high school that I thought
it'd be great,
they would be special teams guys. But if you don't even see them play in the blue-white game, You know, it makes you wonder, maybe there's just an injury there, or maybe they're just that far down the depth chart that they wouldn't
do it. It's tricky when we don't see anything behind the scenes, right? And coaches love that disparity for sure. But there's examples of guys who we haven't seen who suddenly, you know, people getting impatient with Michael Bennett, for example, because we haven't seen a lot of him. Doesn't mean that he hasn't been developing. We just have no idea. And we just have to admit that we have no idea. Danny Dalton, he could be great this year, but we haven't seen anything of Danny Dalton. We just don't know much about these guys. But to not see him in this game, to not see him on special teams, yeah, I could get down with it. It could be a red flag. But these units are also really good, really good now. You know, your coverage team. I don't know.
And they need him to be. I mean, you watch like Ohio State and Alabama and those type of programs. This is not like, hey, this is a good spot to get a walk on out there. No. Like, mm-mm. These guys need to be trained killers who, in the, you know, the football sense of the world, obviously, that fly down there and make plays. And a lot of times you start to realize who will be your dudes a next year or two on special teams. I can remember, even going back to Penn State, I can remember like Blair Thomas when he was returning kicks, you were like, whoa, he's going to be good.
Yeah.
And even some linebackers where they weren't playing on defense yet, but you could tell Andre Collins and these guys, like, you could tell they were going to be players.
Remember Mouty on special teams?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, he was like, okay, perfect. That guy's going to be perfect. Good. Yeah, that was the one guy I remember is like cutting his teeth. And you thought Irv Charles might be that guy, and then it went sideways.
Yeah, that was.
Did not go sideways for Nick Scott, though.
No,
he's great special teams.
I think people
player.
Just didn't understand that Irv Charles had a very important goal to lead NCAA football in penalties per snap. And a lot of people
mission
don't realize.
Accomplished. You're listening to the Keystone Kickoff Show. Our goal here is to serve you well on Penn State football topics, talking about the position groups on Penn State's roster. We've gone through 12 through 6, special teams units were number 6. It's worth saying we don't really know much more today about who's returning kicks and punts than we did, you know, several months ago. So that's one worth watching. It's different from specialists, which were number 11 on Ross's list. Number 5, wide receivers. Ross, why do you have the wide receivers at number 5?
Well, I've got the receivers at number 5 because they're in a position now where they've got pretty darn good depth. But they also lost a pretty darn good guy in Deshaun Hamilton.
Yeah.
So, to me, I like the depth, but it speaks, I think, on some level to the 4 groups ahead of them. You know, sometimes you're 5 because you're 5. They lost by far their best guy, I thought, in
sure.
Hamilton. We'll see what Juwan Johnson does. The other spot after Tompkins is a little bit of an unknown. We don't know what we're going to get from some of these other guys. I will say this. You know, you asked me the question earlier, Dustin, if there's a spot that I would move up based on the blue-white game. I feel a little better about linebackers. I feel a little better about receivers, you know, because even Cam Sullivan Brown, and we're talking guys that are down on the depth chart. Now, I don't know. I don't feel great about Juwan Johnson being in a boot.
Yeah.
I don't know. We don't have any information on that, but I didn't like that at all. It didn't look like it was too serious. But, yeah, I thought overall – pretty darn good from the wide receivers and the depth.
Ross, let me ask you this when it comes to wide receivers. We saw Mack Hippenhammer in this situation where he did some good things, and I felt like his release on his first touchdown catch, he just has a natural way of getting off the line of scrimmage against press coverage, and he kind of muscled his way out of his break then too. But how legitimate was his performance in the blue-white game? I think that a lot of people are trying to make sense of, not that you're saying he's going to climb the depth chart, but how does that shape your longer-term vibe on how good Mack Hippenhammer can be?
Well, look, this might be the last year for Tompkins and Juwan Johnson. You have to think that that's a distinct possibility. So I like the idea of, if you're a Penn State fan, I think Hippenhammer will get some run this year, but I don't know how much. But I think he looks like a guy 2019 and beyond. You know, Hippenhammer and Hamler look like they're going to give you a pretty good combo. They just don't have that much size. Enter in Justin Shorter, who I think will be, you know, the size speed guy. I saw his 200 time. He is just such a freak. He's going to be fun to watch.
It's going to be fun to watch. I was saying to Andy, I felt like the wide receiver positions, they're going to be able to get deep a little bit better than they got deep in 2017. I think they've got some options between Hamler and Shorter, who that's one of the things that he does best, maybe create some more big plays. On the other side there, cornerbacks at number four in your position rankings. You know, Zach McPherson doing what he did, I don't know if it changes things completely, but you feel awfully good about that one through four for sure. And then James Franklin has really praised Donovan Johnson as another guy who showed up in a big way. They're in really good shape there.
Well, and that's why they moved Lamont Wade. You know, they thought he had the skills to be a playmaking safety like a Bob Sanders, Polamalu. You know, and we saw that knocking the ball out of Hamler's hands. They're looking for that type of player from Lamont Wade. And they can always put him back down in the slot if they want to do that. And maybe that'll be a role for him. But this will give Wade a lot of versatility. As for the corners, though, I mean, we already kind of knew about Tariq Castro-Fields and Aurora. You know, we already knew about him. We also knew about some of the other guys, you know, that have played a lot that we forgot about, like John Reed.
Yeah.
You know, John Reed was thought to be their best corner before. So it's pretty impressive what we've been able to see from them. Yeah, McPherson, we didn't really see Donovan Johnson do much in the blue-white game, but McPherson looked like he's a guy that's down the line. They're just in such a different spot throughout the roster in terms of their depth. You know, they're to the point where there aren't many spots, and we've named the ones that are concerns. Tight end's a concern. Linebacker's a concern. But even linebacker, they got enough guys in the mix. And maybe we'll feel this way about tight end if Bowers and Holland could practice. I guess they're hurt again. I don't know. And I think at corner especially, they feel really good. I mean, these guys have size. These guys have length. We didn't get a chance to see what Reed could do coming back from the injury, but they expect him to be ready to roll. He's a pro prospect. So I think corner is one of the better positions. And I think to be 5-4 at wide receiver and corner, to have high at those positions, which I think, if anything, only increase in importance every year, is really nice.
And I think that with a little bit more experience, probably on both sides, these position groups can be even better, be the driving force behind this roster. Just one more thing on Zach McPherson. I think that the thing that was most impressive, he's in that 6'195", kind of, he's right in that middle, right in that sweet spot. He's not overly long. He's not one of these shorter guys. He fought like crazy. And that's one of the things you don't really know about a kid when they're covering. You gotta fight
the dog
every
in him.
Inch. You got the dog in him. That's a good thing for the whole position group. Number 1 through 3 in Ross's position rankings are coming up. We're going to take a quick break and come back with those. Hey, Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right. GoPSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single-game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon. Stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to GoPSURV.com and reserve your RV today.
160,000 miles. That's on average how often you'll use your car insurance. But what if you could get help with more often? Maybe save a couple of bucks on clothes or at restaurants. What if you could even get rescued roadside when a tire goes flat or your battery dies? You can, when you're a member and your auto insurance is AAA. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about how AAA works at every mile.
Hey, Keystone Sports Nation, it's Scott Shirley, the Executive Director of Uplifting Athletes, inviting you to join us for the annual Gridiron Gala Saturday, June 9th in downtown Harrisburg at the Keystone Building. Features all-you-can-eat and drink, tailgate food, and special guests, including Devin Still, former Penn State All-American and NFL star, and most importantly, the father of Leah, who courageously beat her rare cancer and inspired millions. Visit upliftingathletes.org to learn more and help us tackle rare diseases. Hope to see you there.